Well, good morning, everybody. I want to, thank John for giving me the opportunity to teach today. It's been on my heart and mind for a while, so I wanted to share it with you. And also, sorry if my voice sounds weird. I'm kind of congested, allergies and stuff, so just bear with me for that. If you could, turn to Matthew chapter 5. So I was thinking about this for a few weeks, and actually this verse we heard last week at the area meeting, for those of you who were there, starting in verse 13, says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherefore shall it be salted? It is thence good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are," now in verse 14 of chapter 5, "ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Now, I was thinking a lot about this and, thinking about how, all the aspects of my life and where I could apply this, how I could live for God and how I could use that as a witness to other people. And, I was looking up some stuff in scripture, but a main thing that I've been thinking about is when you're working. I mean, a lot of us work, or I would venture to say that, or have, or everything like that. It's something that we have to do at some point or another. And for me, it's personally where I spend most of my life at this point. Like, most of my life is working at at the school, my job, teaching, whether in person or online. I, need to carry myself in a way that reflects positively for God, and I could use that as a way to be a witness. So that's, that's what I wanted to focus on today. And that's the point of all this. Everything that you do, you want to be a light, that light, a witness for God. So let's talk about that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 now. Colossians chapter 3. Okay, so Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 22. It says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." So, just to hone in on those two verses, obviously, in the context of like life right now, servants would be, we're employees. We have to listen to our bosses. We have to do what we got to do at our jobs, and it's not for them necessarily. Of course, obviously I want to do a good job for the person that I work for, so I could, keep the job and everything. But the main point is not necessarily to please them. We're not men pleasers. We're not doing it to look good. Eye service. That's not necessarily why we're doing it. We're doing it because of fearing God, singleness of heart, fearing God. We are working heartily unto the Lord. We're doing it because that's what God wants us to do. And in doing that, we are doing his word. And people are going to notice that, you know, because not everybody works for this reason. Some people just want to look good. They want to, you know, kiss up to the boss or whatever. And then when he's gone, they just go back to whatever they're doing on their phone or whatever it is. That's not what we do. We do it because God is our boss. He's always watching us. We are doing it for him. And that's what you have to keep in mind when you're working your job. There's a really great example of a person in the Bible who was a super hard worker. Actually, there's two people that I wanted to talk to you today about that. The first person I wanted to talk about was Joseph. We all know about Joseph and everything that he went through and, you know, how ultimately he, you know, God was with him and he made it all the way up to become second in command with the Pharaoh. Obviously, I'm not going to go through that entire thing today because we probably all have stuff to do after this. But I did want to hone in on a specific part of that record. We go to Genesis chapter 39. Okay. Genesis chapter 39. So Genesis chapter 39, I'm going to start in verse 1, and just to, you know, let you know where exactly we are at this point, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers because they were very jealous of him. So they sold him into slavery, told, you know, Jacob he was dead and all that. At this point now, he was in a Potiphar's house. So I'll start here in verse 1. Joseph was brought down into Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. So, you know, just to talk about this little blurb here, basically what this is saying is that obviously, God was with Joseph. Obviously, it's a pretty bad situation to be sold into slavery or whatever. I wouldn't want to endure that. But God was with him. And you know what? Potiphar saw that. It says that Potiphar saw that. So he put him in command. This is not to stray away from my main point too much, which is everything that we do, we want to be an example. But, you know, obviously, Potiphar saw that, you know, Joseph was doing good. So Potiphar took advantage of that, and he saw that, and he put him second in command of the whole house. It's pretty big. It's a pretty big thing. And, you know, if you're working hard at your job, you know, your boss is going to take notice. But that's all because you're living for God and you're working heartily unto the Lord. But to keep reading here, verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer the house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wouldn't not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he has in my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything for me but thee, because you're his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar?" Sin against God. This is what was on Joseph's mind. I am put in this situation. Potiphar's wife is, you know, hitting on him or whatever she's doing. And he doesn't want to do the wrong thing. Obviously, it would hurt Potiphar, obviously. But it's because God, he doesn't want to disappoint God. If you're at your job and your job is telling you to do a shady thing, like, just fudge the numbers a little bit, like, it'll help us out. Like, you know, like, you don't want, whatever your job is, I don't know if that's relevant to you, but, you know, you don't want to do that because God would not want you to do that. That is the point here. You know, you would be disrespecting God and his word. You would not be that light. You wouldn't be that light anymore because you would be compromising those morals. And that's what Joseph did. And obviously, he was thrown into jail because she accused him of something he didn't do. But it works out for Joseph, obviously, at the end. But I wanted to hone in on that specific part, that he didn't want to sin against God. And that's the mentality that we have to have. So that's a really good example of how you should live and when you're working, how you should do it. But what don't you want to do? Let's go to Proverbs and talk about that. Proverbs chapter 26. It became clear to me reading through these verses in Proverbs that God has very strong feelings against a poor work ethic, against laziness. He doesn't really like it, like, at all. And he makes it very clear in this specific blurb in Proverbs. It's actually, like, it's almost comedic. It's, like, pretty funny how it's all phrased. Because if you think about what it's really saying, it's, like, hilarious, I think, personally. So Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13. It starts off, it says, "The slothful man said, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets." I'll explain what that means more specifically in a second here. "As the door turns upon his hinges, so doth the slothful man on his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit, and seven men can render a reason." This is, you know, old English, so maybe it's a little tough to kind of interpret this, but I found a translation from the Bible that really kind of hits the point home about, like, what he is referring to in these specific verses. It's really funny. We pull it up here. Okay, so starting at verse 13 again, it says, "Loafers say it's dangerous out there. Tigers are in the streets." And then he pulls the covers over his head. So, like, oh man. Like, actually, when I first heard this example, the first thing that I don't know why it came to my head, but, like, imagine that you're carrying, like, a really, really heavy box, and someone comes up to you and they're like, "Oh man, that looks really heavy." And then they walk away. It's like, what's the point of that? Like, why you're we're working heartily unto the Lord here. So that involves working. So like, God does not like that. The next verse, just as a door turns on its hinges, so a lazy bones turns back over in bed. This obviously isn't talking about like sleeping in, because I like to sleep in a lot and stuff. It's just like, it's just saying that you have to be productive with yourself. You can't just be laying around doing nothing. If you're working heartily unto the Lord, you have to be working hard for the Lord. A shiftless sluggard puts his fork in the pie, but is too lazy to lift it in his mouth, to put it in his mouth. Imagine how lazy you'd have to be to have a pie in front of you, but you just don't feel like putting the fork in your mouth. Like, how lazy of a person would you have to be to even like, to even do that? God doesn't like this. And I'm making light of it, but it's the point is serious. God does not like laziness in any way. I find it like, just like how, you know, how it's phrased. But yeah, God doesn't like laziness. Everything that you're doing, you're working unto him. So if you are trying to cut corners and you are not putting 150% effort into what you're doing, you're not being a light. You are making God look bad. Like, you're not, you like, that's not how you want to carry yourself. You know, people at work might be like, oh, well, that seems like a lot of work. Like, you could probably get away with just doing this. Like, why would you go above and beyond? Like, our boss kind of sucks. Like, why would you even do that? It's for God. It's not for, you're not trying to please men. Can't stress that enough. You're doing it to please God. So if you are lazy, you are not pleasing God. So that's the main point of this blurb in Proverbs. And I really like that translation. It's from The Message. It makes it pretty like clear and, you know, obvious. So I want to head to 2 Thessalonians now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this is going to help me tie this point together here. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 7. But to just give you you know, a little bit of background, since we're kind of starting in the middle of this book. This is Paul writing a message to the Thessalonians. And what Paul is trying to express to them is that everything that we're about to read, that he's about to say, this is what we should not be doing. We should not be doing this, because Paul himself also was a very hard worker. He was not doing what he's about, what we're about to read. Him, Timothy, and Silvanus, I probably should have learned how to pronounce that, but let's just go with that. Okay. You know, those three were obviously doing what they're doing, working heartily unto the Lord, being a witness, traveling around. But in addition to that, they also are, you know, legit, like working, like they are working as well. So that's kind of the background of this record. In verse 7 of chapter 3, it says, for yourselves, you should know, you ought to follow us. As in, you should follow our lead. Paul is saying, like, you should do what I'm doing. You should do what we're doing. We have not behaved for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. They have not done this. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wroth with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Everything that they're working, everything that they're eating, they earn themselves. That's how it should be. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if anyone would not work, neither should he eat. Ooh, it's pretty hard, right? So if you are not working, you don't eat, period. That's the motivation for you. And now this isn't obvious, like, oh, if you don't have a job, then you're not. That's not, it's talking about not wanting to work, then you won't eat. Like, obviously things happen. But if you're always trying to work heartily unto the Lord, you know, then you'll be good. But if you just just want to hang around, like, just take the easy way out, you don't deserve to eat. That's pretty harsh, but that's just how it is. For we hear that there are some that walk around you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. I looked up what a busybody was. It's like someone who meddles. That's not the point of what I'm trying to make here, but the point of it is, if you're working hard, you won't have time to be a busybody, which is what the point of that verse is. If you're working hard, you're not going to really have time to, you know, not work. You know, we're working hardly unto the Lord here. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in doing well. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So, you know, if we know someone in the word, a lazy person, we should just totally cut him off and everything? No, because the next verse says, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. If we see somebody that is not working heartily unto the Lord, that is being lazy, doesn't have a great work ethic, let him know. And, you know, be pretty blunt about it. But this is so they can change, because they're still a brother. Okay, they're not our enemy. Reproof. We all want to be on the same page. We all want to work heartily unto the Lord. And I keep saying that phrase because that's my point here. We all want to do that so we can continue to be lights to those who are not in the faith, not yet, so they can start asking questions like, hey, why do you work so hard? Like, you know, like, you're the hardest worker on the job here. Like, why do you do that? Like, you're killing yourself. You know, I do it because God wants me to do it. That's my motivation. It's an incredible opportunity to witness. And, you know, once again, being that most of, you know, my waking life is at my job, I'll use anything I could get to be, you know, to be a witness, and, you know, use hard work to do that. But this is very easily said. That does not mean it's easily done. You know, you don't always want to work hard. Like, you don't always want to, you know, kick yourself to do your best, especially if you don't have a great boss. Like, it's, you just, sometimes you just lack that motivation. But you can't let yourself get to that point, because once again, it's not about us. It's about God and working hard unto him. If you ever find yourself having a hard time with this, just remember Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read it to you right now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I could do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So you find yourself, you know, you really like PO'd at work. You're like, to heck with this. I could just like leave early. Nobody would know. Just collect yourself. I could do all things. I find myself thinking that because sometimes these kids are crazy. Not to talk about myself too much, but I just have to think about that verse sometimes. Just be like, I could do it. Christ strengthen me. I could do all things. You know, because you know it's hard. Like God knows it's not like easy. That's why He's with us. I think it's really important that we have all these things running through our head all the time when we're working, because God is the goal. God is the goal, to make God proud, to be that light. Back in Matthew chapter 5, go back there where we first started, comes full circle. So in verse 14, remember, ye are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick. It gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the point right there. Glorify your Father. Working hard glorifies Him. So that's why we do it. And people notice. People will notice. Like hard work will not go unnoticed. At the very least, morbid curiosity. At the very least, that's where it would start. So that's what I wanted to talk about today.
Awesome.